Ephesians 1 and 3 is the verse for our text tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we'll deal more with that as we go along. That's the starting point. And we have this comment. God in his goodness has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. To remove God's goodness and love is to remove his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience. To remove all spiritual blessings. If you remove God's goodness and love. And with that, we'll go to Psalms 100. Bill introduced our lessons last week, or at least this part of them. We'll go to Psalms 100 and look at that for a moment. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. That's the first spiritual blessing that we'll mention. The Lord, he is God. It is he that made us. It is he that blesses us. We are his people. It is, the Lord is God, is a spiritual blessing. We all know that. I'm reminded of when Moses was told to go into Egypt and to bring the people out, to go to Pharaoh and get him to release the people. And he said, well, who can I say that sent me? And God said, tell them that I am that I am. I am sent you. So that God is I am that I am. He is because he is. That's hard for us to understand. No, as a matter of fact, we do not understand that. He is because he is. That is our God, not the one of the Islam nation, not the one of any other nation. The great I am is our spiritual blessing. There's more coming about that. The last verse of Psalms 100, verse 5, the Lord is good. We're going to talk about God's goodness for a moment. That is a spiritual blessing, God's goodness. And I'm reminded, I have this notation, God is good, life is life. Does that make any sense to you? God is good, life is life. I didn't read that anywhere. That's just the way it is. That's the way things are. Life is life. And what comes to my mind is that life isn't fair. Life is not fair. Some people this moment are sick and suffering while we're able to be here. But God is still good. There are those who are handicapped from the cradle to the grave. Blindness, deafness, no limbs, and all kinds of handicapped situations, but God is still good. See, God is good, but life is life. We need to understand that. People in general need to understand God's goodness does not dictate things that happen in life. There are those tonight who are doing without essentials from a financial standpoint, and yet there are those of us who can buy what we need or what we think we need and what we want. God is good, even though there are those who can't. God is good. Life is life. That's just the way things are. So I repeat this once now and again and again. God in his goodness has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. To remove God's goodness and love is to remove his mercy and his long-suffering and all spiritual blessings. That's not the last time we'll hear that. In regard to spiritual blessings, God in his goodness has blessed us with all that we need spiritually. Whosoever will can obtain those spiritual blessings. Some, though, and we'll ask you to think about this for a moment. We're talking about life being fair and God is good and life is life. Some never hear the gospel. Some never hear about spiritual blessings. Is that fair? Lost souls cry out to us, "You never mentioned him to me." There are people lost who have never heard about Christ. If they had heard about him and if they'd been taught, they may become Christians. So when you're talking about spiritual blessings, those who have them and those who understand them owe it to those who do not to reveal spiritual blessings to the world. You know that's right. There will be those who will say, could be those. I get this from the song. You've heard the song, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." It's in our book. We don't sing it because it's not uplifting. It puts you where you are. It makes you think about what you haven't done. "You never mentioned him to me." So God is good. Life is life. But life isn't fair. And there are those who have never heard the gospel. And we have to say, is that fair to them? Three or four weeks ago, we mentioned that love matters most. And we got to a point that we didn't finish that lesson. But you take God's love away from the world, and what do you have? Nothing that we would want. So that is a spiritual blessing, obviously. And we reference Ephesians 2, 3 through 6 to get to that point. Beginning with 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now we want to emphasize verse 4 again. "But God, who is rich in mercy," reading from the New King James, "because of his great love wherewith he has loved us." Did you hear that? He is rich in mercy because he loves, because of his great love. That's a spiritual blessing, to consider God's great love for us. Again, you take God's great love away, he doesn't care that we're dead in sin. You take God's great love away, and he would not have allowed Jesus to come and sacrifice himself, that we may sit together in heavenly places. You think love doesn't matter most? It's a spiritual blessing. You take our love, your love, away from mankind, and what do you have? No mercy, no understanding, no patience, no kindness. That's the reason we said that love matters most. Love is a spiritual blessing from God to us and from Christians to the world. Christ emphasized God's goodness in Matthew 19, and that those verses are used quite often. 16 through 17, it was referenced, I believe, last week when Bill made this introductory. The scripture reads, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now we're going somewhere with this. Strong's definition of good is sort of like this. No, it's exactly like this. Of good constitution or nature. Useful, salutary, that is beneficial. Good, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy. Excellent, distinguished. Upright, honorable. Excelling in any respect, distinguished, good. All of those things, according to my understanding, sound like Christ. He was the classic example of good. But yet he said, why call me good? So why did he do that? Consider this. Christ will have this young man either know him to be God or not call him good to teach us to transfer to God all the praise that is at any time given to us. Do any call us good? Let us tell them all goodness is from God and therefore not to us, but to him give all glory. All crowns must lie before his throne. Make this note. God only is good, and there is none essentially, originally, and unchangeably good but God only. His goodness is of him from him is of and from himself. He is because he is. I am because I am. His goodness is from him, not from anything else. From himself, rather. And all the goodness in the creature is from him. He is the fountain of goodness. And whatever the streams are, all the springs are in him. That's from the commentary of Matthew Henry. So it's a good commentary, I think, and it explains quite well why Jesus said, don't call me good, because he was in fleshly form. He was saying man is good only because of God. Goodness comes from God, not from man. That's a spiritual blessing, that God's goodness comes to us the way it does. And with all that being said, then that leads us back to our text, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the word all there is all-encompassing. Every spiritual blessing, I think the New King James reads. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Any spiritual blessing. It is a whole. The word blessed, when it refers to God, blessed be the God. Strong's calls that, says it could be adorable or praised. The NLT and the NIV use the word praised, as a matter of fact. It says, praise be the God, or to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. God is adorable. We don't approach it that way very often, but he is. He is praiseworthy. And then the verse also says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The word blessed there changes a little. It's to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings on. That's what the word blessed means there. And then the final blessings, with all spiritual blessings, that is a benefit. Comes from the word eulogy, in other words. That's where we get the word eulogy from. To heap praise on. It's what happens at funerals. People heap, preachers heap where their praise is suitable and should be. Praise is heaped on people at funerals. So how does this work in? Consider this. The word blessing in Ephesians 1 and 3 is a translation of the Greek word eulogy, and it means to speak well of. So since God is the one acting in this verse, we can say that God has spoken good things about us or pronounced good things for our benefit, and that's what he has done in giving us spiritual blessings. The good things that God has decreed for us are probably beyond our ability to number. I forgot where I got that, what commentary that is. But that last statement, someone has already said tonight, I believe it was Brother Morris or someone, the good things that God has decreed for us are beyond our ability to understand. We just don't know all the blessings that God has made available to us. We just don't realize it. Here comes that statement again. God, in his goodness, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. To remove God's goodness and love is to remove his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience, and spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings obviously come from God. And with that, still in Ephesians, we'll glance over some spiritual blessings. Randy covered some of these. If you surely you remember, 13 weeks studying out of Ephesians. And Randy covered some of these, so we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about them. But when you're talking about spiritual blessings, you've got to stay with these verses, because here they are. Chosen before the foundation of the world. That's Christianity. That's us. That's our spiritual well-being. Selected and chosen and set up before the foundation of the world. That's in verse 4 of Ephesians 1. And being able to be holy and without blame. That's a spiritual blessing. That's in verse 4. And in his love. That's in verse 4. Predestined to adoption in verse 5. Accepted in the beloved, that is, accepted in the Son, accepted in Christ, is in verse 6. Redeemed through his blood. We hear these things often, don't we? They are spiritual blessings. Redeemed through his blood. Forgiveness of our sins, the same thing. Riches of grace, verse 7. The mystery of his will made known, verse 9. Obtained an eternal inheritance in verse 11. Heard the word of truth and sealed, or rather confirmed, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13. The hope of his calling in verse 18. And there are many others that we have not brought out. Spiritual blessings mentioned in Ephesians 1. We've already talked about God being a spiritual blessing. Then obviously we have to go to Christ and talk about him as a spiritual blessing. We all know he's a spiritual blessing, but do we consider the fact that Christ maketh intercession for us? We know he does, but do we consider it that Christ makes intercession for us? If he didn't, if we didn't have that spiritual blessing, where would we be? That's Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He's not just sitting there. He is making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ is our intercessor. Do we think about that? Do we realize what a blessing that is? What does that mean to you? This will sound, and it probably is, oversimplified. But here's the way I understand that. When I get into something, an issue, or say or do something or don't do something that I should do, and I pray for forgiveness, Christ can say to God, I understand why he did that. I understand why that is. That's the reason Christ came here. That's the reason he lived as a man. He can understand. He wouldn't have been able to understand otherwise. But he can say, I know what Peggy's going through. That's the way in. Do you realize that? When you pray to God and ask for forgiveness, do you realize God, Christ rather, is there interceding for us? What a spiritual blessing that is. It's referred to as an advocate in another verse, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Now, in parentheses, you can put consoler, comforter, intercessor by that word. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our advocate. Again, as an intercessor, but in this case, as a consoler, a comforter, that is. Do we count that as a spiritual blessing? Do we even consider that as a spiritual blessing? He is also a mediator, a go-between. Again, to imply an intercessor or one who reconciles. And that's what he does. When I have stepped away from God and I asked God to take me back, Christ is there. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Christ is there. He is on the right hand, not just enjoying himself in eternity. He is interceding for us. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. What a spiritual blessing that is. Any comments about that? About any such thing, as a matter of fact. And then we come to another spiritual blessing, and that is the Holy Spirit. I think I'm right in saying that the Holy Spirit is probably the least thought of as far as thinking of his work and what he means to us from a spiritual blessing standpoint than Christ or God ever thought about being. We overlook the works of the Spirit. I do. In Romans 8:26, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We understand what that's saying. We just don't think about it often. Now, this is men and women alike. When men lead prayer, or however, a public prayer, oftentimes we stumble and stammer and we don't exactly get things said the way we would like to say them. The Spirit takes care of that. If we are praying in earnest, he doesn't put words in our mouth. But he does intercede for us and say, this is what he means, God. Same way with you ladies. Same way with the young people. You don't pray publicly, but when you pray and you stammer and can't think of what you want to say and say something anyway, this says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered," with groanings that I can't utter. The Spirit can do it. What a spiritual blessing that is. We don't understand that. Yes, we do. We understand it, but we don't give him credit. We don't think about it. And I say we don't because from my own experience, I find myself having a tendency to overlook blessings like that. If you don't overlook them, great. Good for you. That reminds me, teaching this very subject in Romans 8:26, it's been a bunch of years ago now, but we taught that verse, and Brother Roselle was in the class. And I'd known Brother Roselle had then since childhood. And I've never heard him speak out in class. Not one time. But he misunderstood me that day and thought that I said that the Spirit gives you things to say. The Spirit gives you words to say. And boy, he dressed me down. I mean, he came unglued on me. And of course, all I could do was let him say what he had to say. And then I went back and said, "Okay, this is what I meant to say." He said, "Oh, yeah, I'm for that. I agree with that." But I never will forget Brother Roselle coming down on me. You remember him, buddy? You remember Brother Roselle? And this I do not understand, but I know it happens. Christ said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So Christ was telling them that because he was going away. He was going to leave earth, go back to his Father in heaven. And they didn't quite understand that. They didn't want him to leave. But he's saying, there's going to be a Comforter come. I don't know how the Holy Spirit comforts us, but based on this text, I believe it's as much as I can then and know that he does in some sense, in some way. When we become Christian and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then in some way he comforts us and he helps us in prayer. Those two things we know. Those two spiritual blessings, anytime we feel like it, we can say, "Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit and for what he's done for us." And obviously we know he receives credit for bringing us the Word. I'm looking back to see if I've skipped over a page because I'm out of material and got 6 minutes to go. I don't think I skipped any, but so under this umbrella then of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, everybody knows this. They are the source of all spiritual blessings. The three of them. They are the source of all spiritual blessings. And it behooves us, I think, to be aware of and to be thankful for such things. Any comments about any of those? With that, I'm going to look at that song I talked about. I don't know if we'll sing it or not, but I'm going to look at it. It's 598 if you want to look at the words. And the scripture reference that is used here is 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did you hear that word? Save yourself and those that hear thee. How are they going to hear us if we have nothing to say? When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder alone, or yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by that yonder none may cry. You never mention him to me. And then the chorus. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. We receive spiritual blessings from God every second we live as Christians. And it then is our responsibility to be a spiritual blessing to the world. And I think with that, I think we'll just sing this song. If I can get it started right. 598.
When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our soul may be. If any lost one there should cry,
and
said earlier, we probably could never list all the spiritual blessings. Therefore, surely we can be a spiritual blessing to others. Thank you.